Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
It's always great to get away, but like I said, it's always great to be home, and I'm glad to be back this morning and starting this brand new series called Trust the Process. As I was praying about, you know, what direction God was leading us for the new year, I felt like this kind of came back to me a couple times, and trusting the process, and what exactly does that mean? Many of you know I love sports of all kinds, especially football, and it's one of the terms that you hear by coaches all the time. Trust the process. Trust the process. What does that mean? It means that the plan that we have in place, it will work. We may not see results right away, but if you trust the process, the results will come. And speaking of sports analogies, yesterday there were a couple of teams in the playoffs who started the year not so great. Started like 1-5, 2-3, whatever it may be, and the coaches kept preaching, trust the process. And it looked bleak. Everybody on, you know, TV and no, they're never going to make the playoffs. It's not going to happen. But the players trusted the process, and they ended up in the playoffs. So it's important that we understand that sometimes it doesn't always work out as we plan on the onset, but we have to trust the process. I know many of us, when we start 2019, you probably have goals, or you know, some of you may have New Year's resolutions. There's a lot of people that have resolutions to lose weight or to get in shape, and I am a firm believer that round is a shape, so I am perfectly fine with that. I'm working on that. That's one shape I know I can get to. No, just kidding. It is important to be healthy. It's important to be fit. And so a lot of us set goals to be healthy in the new year. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't meet their goals. They don't meet their resolution because, honestly, they don't set any particular steps to meet their goal. They say, yeah, I want to get in shape, or I want to get fit. I think that's a better terminology. I want to get fit, but they don't do anything or have any plans to do so. Like, if you want to eat healthy, you can't leave all the junk food in your house. You have to get rid of it. And for me, I just ate it all. And so I'm like, I can't just throw it all away. So, you know, we got to get ready for our fast and all that. So I can't be tempted by all the goodies in here. So I just got to eat them all because that was good money. We can't just throw that away, all right? So I just have to eat it all. And so there has to be a goal. There has to be a plan. If we're going to reach our goals, there has to be a plan in place. But many people don't reach their goals because they have no plan. They have a goal, but they have no steps to get there. A lot of times people don't reach their goal because they don't see overnight success. A lot of times people get frustrated, especially when it comes to weight loss, because they want to lose 20 pounds, and they stop and they eat healthy for one day, and they didn't lose 10 pounds, and they get frustrated. Well, I want to lose 20 pounds, and yesterday all I ate was salad and celery, and I didn't lose 10 pounds. Oh, forget it. Back to McDonald's. Like, oh, we want overnight success. We want to see immediate results. But honestly, if we are real and we take a bigger picture, we understand that if we are going to get healthy, get in shape, lose weight, it takes time. It's a process. That we have to understand that the results are, it took time to gain weight, and it takes time to lose weight. It's a process, and we have to trust the process. If we want to reach a goal, if we want to eat healthy, if you want to get closer with God, whatever it may be, you have to trust the process. You have to have a plan in place and trust it. And it's very true with our walk with God. A lot of times we want to see instantaneous results. We want to see things happen right here, right now. And I believe in instant results. In the kingdom of God, there can be instant results. But there are other times that we have to trust the process. That it takes time for us to see what God is doing in us and through us. And so my hope and my goal for the next 21 days as we trust the process is part of this is our 21 days of prayer and fasting. That we're going to set aside 21 days to go before God and pray specifically for things that are on our hearts. Pray for other people. But then couple that with fasting. And I want to take a few minutes today about talking through prayer and fasting. A lot of people understand prayer. I get it. I know what prayer is. But I want us to understand the process that we're going to go through the next 21 days. And that we can all get on board with that to trust the process. Even though we may not see instantaneous results, we know they will come if we trust the process. So if you would this morning, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. We'll have it up on the screen for you. But I want to read a couple of verses here this morning in Matthew chapter 6. And this is Jesus speaking. And one of a very familiar portions of the Bible in Matthew's gospel. And this is known as the Beatitudes starting in chapter 5. And the Beatitudes are a lot of how we should live our lives as disciples, as Christ followers, how we should live our lives, things that we should be doing. And so I want to take a look at a couple different verses, starting at Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing out in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now jump down to verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, there are things, obviously, in this passage that we could go many different directions on. And there are many great things that I could dive into. I just don't have the time today. But the two areas that I want to focus on, obviously, as we start the season of prayer and fasting are prayer and fasting. Jesus talks about several things, and they're all very important and key to our daily lives. But there is something that probably stands out to you as we read through this passage and surrounding verses. As Jesus talks about doing these things in secret. Doing these things in secret is a theme of what Jesus is talking about. And I've had people ask me, well, if Jesus says that we should do these things in secret, why on earth are we doing a corporate 21-day prayer and fast? Isn't that going opposite of what God is saying, what Jesus is saying for us to do? If we're supposed to do these things in secret, why are we announcing 21 days of prayer and fasting? Aren't we doing this exactly the opposite? And my firm answer is no. We are not going outside of what Jesus is saying. Jesus is specifically speaking to people who are making it known to everybody how their prayer life is going, that they will go out on the street corner and pray so everybody can hear them, that they will dress and they will look somber and to let everybody know that they are fasting. What Jesus was reminding us as disciples is to make sure that we're doing these things in secret so we can't boast about what we're doing. That we don't need to go post it on social media that we're fasting, whatever it may be, for 21 days. Or go out into the street corner, go into the middle of Walmart and start praying, okay? I think sometimes we may need to stand in the middle of Walmart and pray. Maybe, Lord Jesus, help me get through this. But the idea behind it is not to be boastful. That's what Jesus is talking about. Not that we can't do something corporately together as a body of believers, but that it is something between you and God. That this next 21 days of prayer and fasting, should you choose to jump in and do this as a body together, that it is something that we are doing corporately, but it is very much individual as well. That I am not asking anybody to come to me and tell me exactly what they're fasting for the next 21 days or what they're doing or whatever they may be praying on a daily basis. It's simply saying we're coming together as a body of believers to start the year off on a note of prayer and fasting. Again, I talked about as we started worship this morning, getting in a position to receive that God has for us. And I believe setting aside 21 days corporately gets us in a position to receive what God has for us for the new year. Just because we have this time doesn't mean that we're going outside of what God's word says. You see, it matters what your attitude about it is. If you're doing it to be boastful, then you're not doing it for the right reasons. And that's what Jesus is teaching against. Don't do this so you can boast, oh yes, I prayed for 21 days, I didn't eat food. You've just completely wiped out everything that you were trying to accomplish. But you can say together, yes, I want to join in with this, but then it's a personal thing between you and God. I was at a funeral for a lady that absolutely blew my socks off. And he said, well, a funeral? What? What? The reason why is because during the service, one of her sons came up and he announced to the congregation, all that were there, and many of it were family and friends, obviously. And he said, many of you didn't know, but every Wednesday my mom fasted. And it wasn't just an easy, well, I'm not going to eat. Like, it was a difficult thing that she went through every Wednesday. Like, she faced spiritual battle every Wednesday, every time that she fasted. But she didn't tell everybody about it. Not even all of her kids knew that she did that. And she had done it for well over 40 years. That's the attitude that I'm talking about. That when we fast and we pray, that we don't have to exclaim and proclaim to everybody what we're doing, that we keep it between us and God, but say, no, I'm going to join together with my church for the next 21 days, but it's between you and God. You don't have to boast about it. You don't have to brag about it, but just simply say, this is what I want. You don't have to put it on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. You really don't. I know there's this desire that we live that we have to post everything on social media. You don't. Can we all just clarify that? You don't have to post everything on social media. There are sometimes, I'm not going to go there. So, this is a time as a church that we're setting aside this opportunity to join together and pray and fast as a body of believers. To set aside to encourage one another, to support each other. Not to boast about it, not to brag about it. Just because we're doing it and a church down the road isn't doing it doesn't make us any better. It just means that we're doing this as a church for 21 days. That's all it means. And we're believing God to do things in our lives and in this church. But it does not mean that we are better than anyone else. What Jesus is calling us to do these things in secret, personal, as we do many things in our lives. With the advent of social media, it is hard to keep things a secret. But this is truly between you and God. I don't have a checkoff list of who's doing what. I don't want to know. The only thing that I encourage is that if you want to be a part of this, then join. Be a part of it. But I don't need to know anything else other than that. It truly is between you and God. The things that I'm praying for, the things that I'm believing for, the things that I'm fasting are between me and God. And that's what I believe our focus should be on is for the next 21 days, is what God is going to do in our hearts and our lives as we begin this journey together. And so I want to take a look at a couple of things this morning, because I am believing for great things in 2019. I'm believing for breakthrough to happen in 2019. I know that there are many people that you're on the edge and you can almost taste it. Breakthrough to happen, and that you've come so far and it's right there. And I'm believing that we're going to break through those things in 2019 as individuals, but even as a church. There have been times Sunday after Sunday that I go home and I talk with Rebecca, and we'll have staff meeting throughout the week, and I go, man, we're right there. We're right there, that God is moving and greater things are coming. Greater things have happened, but even greater things are coming. And I'm believing in 2019 we're going to walk into those things, because we're positioning ourselves for the next 21 days to see those things happen. You may need a breakthrough in your finances. You may need a breakthrough in your relationship, in your health, your job, whatever it may be. And I believe if we trust the process of prayer and fasting, we're going to see breakthrough take place. Here's the thing about breakthrough, though. Breakthrough usually happens when we're in a place of discomfort. Breakthroughs usually happen when we're at a place that we feel we're almost at our breaking point. That God will put us in a place to get us on our knees. That we may believe for something, but yeah, we just casually pray about it. But if you really need a breakthrough, that means, God, I don't know what else to do. I need you to break through in my situation. That means that we're in a time of difficulty. Look at Psalm 77, verse 2. In my time of trouble, I did what? I sought the Lord. I kept my hand raised in prayer throughout the night. When we are facing times of difficulties, that's when we seek the Lord. We should seek God all the time, but especially when we're going through a difficult time, we should seek God. When we're in distress or we need a breakthrough, we should reach out to God. There's some things that we're praying and believing for that they will happen soon. Others may take time, but we have to trust the process. Just because we don't see immediate results does not mean God is not working. does not mean God is on the move. I have seen God that things that I've prayed and believed for several years ago are coming to pass now. I wanted them to happen back then, but it took time. God was working behind the scenes for it to be fulfilled. See, prayer is critical in our ability to grow into the people God is calling us to be. Prayer is vital if we want to see God move on our behalf. Let me read this quote on prayer. Prayer is like any other work. We may not feel like working, but once we've been at it for a while, we begin to feel like working. Some of you are like, I don't know about that. Just track with me. We may not feel like exercising, amen, but once we do it for a while, we feel like doing it. In the same way, our prayer muscles need to be limbered up a bit, and once the blood flow of intercession begins, we will find that we feel like praying. I think you guys know me well enough that I'm pretty straightforward and honest. Sometimes that gets me in trouble, but that's okay. That's where grace comes in. There are some days that I don't feel like praying. Oh, what? Pastor just said what? There are days I don't feel like praying. There are days that I'm discouraged. There are days that the enemy just pounds and pounds and pounds. And I say, God, what's the point? But when I pray and I begin to get the blood flow of intercession going, I want to keep praying. It's getting it started. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, getting it going. Exercise, very much the same way. There was a time I was actually more in shape than what I am right now. I know you don't believe it, but it's true. There's a time, I don't know if you have heard of insanity. I did that, and it was insane, and I was insane for doing it. But I actually did get in shape, and there were days that I didn't want to do it because I knew what it was going to entail. It was going to be me in the middle of my living room floor in a heap of sweat, going, why did I do this? This is awful. But once I got going, I wanted to keep going. I had to start the process. Many times prayer is the same way. We may not feel like praying, but once we start, we get into the process and we want to keep praying. Prayer is essential if we want breakthrough in our lives. If you want to see God move on your behalf, then you must be praying. Jesus didn't say, if we pray, when you feel like praying, but when you pray. The instruction being that we should be praying all the time. If you need a breakthrough, you need to be praying about it, not thinking about it. Key difference. I can think about a lot of things, and I can pray about a lot of things. But what are we doing? I've had to realize I'm not really praying. I'm not going to God. I'm just thinking this through, saying I'm praying about it. And there's a difference between truly interceding and praying for it and bringing it before the throne room of God and saying, you fix this. You take care of this. You move that in a way that only you can. I'm trusting in you. And this way, I'm thinking, how can I fix the problem? We spend a lot of times, if we're honest, in this category and not actually praying about it. What I'm saying and what Jesus was talking about is us going before God and praying. Not just thinking about it, but actually doing it. A lot of times people get hung up on the length of prayer. Well, I don't have time to spend hours and hours praying. You don't have to. But as long as you're setting aside a time every day to pray. I've heard some great, eloquent, just wonderful prayers that I sat in awe going, my gosh, I want to pray like that person. Like, that is amazing. And saw God move and answer the prayer. And I've heard short little sentence prayers by kids and God move and went, wow, I want to pray like them. It doesn't matter how we pray, the words that we use, but the fact that we're coming and submitting ourselves before God and simply praying. Not thinking about it, but actually doing it. Are we just casually going through life thinking about our problems, or are we actually praying about them, giving them to God? And I want to encourage you over the next 21 days to find a time to pray. Not to think about your situation, not to think about things, but to pray. God, move. God, intervene. Whatever it may be, God, put him in that place. Submit to him and ask him to move. It doesn't have to be an hour, but if it is, that's great. maybe 5 minutes that you just set aside before you get in your car or when you sit in your car. Because be honest, sometimes our cars are a place of solitude. You know, there's, you know, we can turn off the radio, we can turn off the cell phone, nobody's bothering us, and you just sit in the car for 5 minutes and just pray. Or wherever, maybe you've got a long drive to work, sit and pray during that time. However you find a place and opportunity, I want to encourage you to pray. Not just thinking about it, but going before God and trusting the process of prayer. The other area is fasting. And I know I'm going through these really quickly, but I want to touch on these. The second discipline that I want to look at is fasting, and this one is a little bit more challenging. But again, we see in this passage that Matthew says, and what Jesus is saying, is when you fast, with the idea that we will be fasting, that we will take times where we're abstaining from things. Not if or when you feel like it, but when you fast. It is assumed, and Jesus is saying, when you fast. To that, honestly, I never heard that growing up in church. Never. Nobody ever taught it. It wasn't until about 6 or 7 years ago that I was introduced to fasting. And I started to begin to dig in. What does this mean? What is this? Like, how did I pass this? And I started to dig in and understand, man, there is power when we couple prayer and fasting together. It's a discipline that oftentimes get overlooked in church. And I've heard a lot of questions, and I've had a lot of people say, well, Pastor, that's an Old Testament practice. That's something they used to do in the Old Testament. We don't have to do that now. There's a lot of things that are in the Old Testament that we don't have to do, but there are some solid biblical principles if we do them. And that's what it comes down to me. You know what? I don't have to fast, but I get to. I choose to. Because every time I see somebody fasting in the Bible, something, some breakthrough follows. So what does it hurt? Absolutely nothing. The only thing it does is allows me to focus on God and allow him to move where I've probably been bottlenecking the process. If you choose to fast, that's great. If you choose not to, that doesn't make you any less than anybody else. And that's the other part of this, is I don't want anybody to feel because they're not fasting that, well, I must be less than anybody else. That is not the case. It doesn't work that way in the kingdom of God. But I do believe if we couple prayer and fasting, we are going to see things happen. Fasting ultimately shows God that we're serious. Fasting shows God that what we're praying about, we actually are serious about. If you have kids or grandkids, you're going to understand this very well, very, very well. Your kids or grandkids probably ask you for stuff all the time, right? Dad, my kids, Dad, can I have this? 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 And my answer is usually no. Just nope. And then they ask again. No. And then they ask again. No. And then we'll finally get to, why do you want this? Well, I want it because blah, 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 whatever the case may be. A couple weeks ago, it was right after Christmas. I hate picking on Isaac, but I'm going to do it anyway. So he comes to me, it was a couple days after Christmas, said, Dad, I need $10 for this video game. He wanted to buy some other stuff for his video game. And no, was the answer. No, we're not going to do it. Dad, I really want it. No, Dad, I really need it. I said, you really need it? Yes, I really need it. I said, no. And so then I finally said, okay, do you really want the $10? Yeah. He's like, I'll even work for it. I said, well, now we're talking. I said, go outside. The van needs to be vacuumed out. I mean, we had just come back from vacation, so it was like trashed. So I'm like, go and vacuum the van. Okay, I'll do it. He goes out there for like 5 minutes. I'm done. Said, no, 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 no. It doesn't work like that. I have to go visually inspect the van. So I go in there, and he had vacuumed like one little section. I said, no, 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 no. You've got more to do. If you want that $10, you're going to have to wear all this van has to be spotless. So we went through this process like 10 more times until finally the van was done. I said, all right, now I'll give you the $10 for your video game. He showed me he was going to work for it. He showed me he was serious about it. I will work for it. Other times, okay, if I told him to go do this, okay, whatever, I guess I don't need it that bad. But he proved to me that he was serious. He really wanted it. That's what fasting does. It shows to God, I am serious about this. I am going to abstain from food. I'm going to abstain from things that I enjoy doing because I want you to intervene. I am serious. Not just, God, can you please give me a handout? It'd be great if you really did this. But God, I'm getting on my face before you. I am going to abstain from things because I need you to move. I am serious. That's what fasting is all about. When we are facing a crisis, needing a breakthrough, that is when we need to fast the most. We see many examples of the Israelites getting themselves in trouble, time and time again, needing God to intervene. God, we need you to move. God, we need you to intervene on our behalf. And the nation is called to a fast. Can you imagine if the nation of the United States was called to a fast? What would take place? We're just saying right here, right now, but my goodness, if we as a nation fasted before God, I believe a revival would sweep coast to coast. Look at what happens in 2 Chronicles 20. I don't have the time to read through it, but Judah was about to be destroyed. The enemies had surrounded them. They had no other option. They needed a breakthrough. King Jehoshaphat, wonderful name, by the way. I'm sure he got picked on all the time as a kid. But the King Jehoshaphat says, all right, we have no other options. We don't know what to do. God, we need you to intervene. So he calls the nation to fast. And in the end, they witness one of the most dramatic acts of supernatural deliverance recorded in the Bible as the army and the angels of God came down and wiped out the armies that were surrounding them. Because they got serious. They said, God, we cannot do this on our own. We need you to intervene. And God came through. That's just one example. Maybe you need a breakthrough. Maybe there is something you have been experiencing for far too long that you're like, God, I've been trying, and I just need you to help me. I need you to break me through this wall that I'm up against. Then pray and fast. Maybe you need wisdom. Maybe you need counsel. God, I don't know what to do. I've got three options in front of me, and they all look equally the same. What do I do? You need wisdom. I don't know about you, but we all need more. I need more wisdom. We can all use more wisdom. When we pray and fast, say, God, I need more wisdom. I need you to lead and guide me. Maybe you have a decision. You don't know what to do. Pray and fast about it. When you need God's direction and confused about what way to go, the best thing you can do, in my humble opinion, is to pray and fast. And there are several different types of fast. And I want to just take just a brief moment on this because I get a lot of questions about this too. Is, well, how do I fast? What exactly, you know, some of you may have never heard of what fasting is. Fasting is simply abstaining from food or another object or something in your life. There are different types of fast we see in the Bible. There's an absolute fast. An absolute fast means you abstain from all food. You eat nothing. You just drink water. That's it. There are people that I have known that have gone on 40-day fast. I have not done that yet. I hope to achieve that one day. But I don't believe God has called me to do that yet. But there are people that they will fast for 40 days, 40 nights, just as Jesus did. There's an absolute fast where you can fast everything but water. There's a Daniel fast. A Daniel fast is where you abstain from all meats, dairy products. Basically, you're only eating whole grain foods, fruits, and vegetables. That's it. That's a Daniel fast. For 21 days, you don't eat any meat, any dairy products, no sweets, anything like that for 21 days. There's a sun up to sundown fast, where you don't eat anything throughout the day and only eat a meal at night when the sun goes down. Now, I understand that there are people have asked me this question. Well, I have dietary restrictions. I have to, and I completely understand that. I do not encourage anybody to go on a fast if you have to have certain foods and have to eat with meals and things like that. Don't do that. That is not wise. But there are things that you might be able to fast. Maybe that, you know, that soda that you like to have every day. You say, for 21 days, I'm not going to drink soda. For 21 days, I'm not going to drink coffee. Oh, that hurt right there. For 21 days, no TV. For 21 days, no internet. For 21 days, no cell phone, no social media. For whatever the 21 days, basically this, is that for 21 days you're saying, God, I'm going to abstain from something that I particularly enjoy. I particularly enjoy food. And so for 21 days, I will abstain from eating things. And now I do different things. I'll modify my fast. And again, I don't want to set it up going, well, Pastor does that, so this is what I have to do. I do different things throughout my fast. It's between you and God. But if there is something that you're saying, God, I want to set aside for the next 21 days to show you that I'm serious. You know exactly what that is. I can't tell you what that is. For some of you, you may say, yeah, I'll give up soda. And you're like, well, I don't drink soda anyway. Well, then you're not really sacrificing anything, are you? It's a sacrifice, something that you're saying, God, I'm serious. This is something you know I enjoy. This is something you know I enjoy doing on a daily basis or whatever it may be that I'm not going to do for 21 days. Whatever it may be, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Whatever God is calling to you to do to see the breakthrough, you need wisdom or whatever it may be. I believe over the next 21 days, if we join together, we're going to see things begin to move in our lives. But the thing is I have seen this play out. It's not just during that 21 days, but it's throughout the course of the year. That every year that I've done this, for the past 6 years now, taking 21 days and put that aside, I've seen the results all year long. It's not just the first couple days or the first days after the fast or even during the fast, but throughout the year. There's just something about taking time and saying, God, I'm going to set this time aside for you to focus on you, to pray and fast. And I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged during the next 21 days because anytime we take a step towards God, we know the enemy is going to try and kick us back. That's just the natural cause and effect of things. Anytime we try to take back ground for God, the enemy is going to try to advance on us. And so I want us to be encouraged. So there are four different areas, four different things I want to encourage you if you decide to be a part of this 21 days of prayer and fasting. Number one, daily text message encouragements. If you want to receive a daily Bible verse or a scripture encouragement or just a word, every day it'll be a little bit different, and you say that I just every day I want to receive that, then you can fill out your connection card and check the box on there. All we need is your name and your telephone number, and every day you'll get a text message. We've got it online. We've got it on Facebook. If you want to fill it out there, you can do that as well. Just an opportunity to say, yeah, I need encouragement. I need somebody to send me a verse to encourage me. This coming Wednesday night, number two, this coming Wednesday night, we're going to have a time of worship and prayer. We usually spend a few minutes in worship on Wednesday nights, but we're going to have live worship. The worship team is going to be here with us, and we're going to come together for corporate worship and corporate prayer. Because many times when you start something, the first couple days are, yeah, this is exciting, this is awesome, and then all of a sudden you hit a wall. And typically that I have found is usually around that midweek on Wednesday, that's when I can use a little bit of encouragement. So this coming Wednesday, we're going to join together. Clubhouse Kids and CYC Youth are still going to be doing their things, but together we're going to come and worship, we're going to pray and get refilled to keep us continuing on this prayer and fasting journey. The next two Sunday evenings, number three, we're going to open up the church from 5 until 7 o'clock. So starting next Sunday evening from 5 until 7 o'clock, the church is going to be open for you to come and pray. If you want to just come and find a quiet spot and pray to be encouraged, if you want somebody to pray with you and join with you, we'll be here to do that as well. But we just want to provide a time. Maybe it's, you know, a little busy, a little chaotic at home, and you can't find that time to get away, to get encouraged. Well, then come here on Sunday night and just sit in the presence of God. Just pray and seek his face. And then number four, you can join us every Tuesday morning at 9:30 for our prayer life group. That we meet here every Tuesday morning. And if you want to be a part of that, if you don't have to work or your schedule allows to come Tuesday at 9:30 for the next, well, not just next couple weeks, but we do it all year round. But the prayer life group happens every Tuesday morning. So there are several different ways that you can be encouraged through this next 21 days. I believe that 2019 is going to be a great year. I believe we're going to look back at 2019 and go, my gosh, God, you did some amazing things. We're so grateful for all that you did. But that's because we set aside 21 days to pray and fast together as a church. Maybe you've prayed and fasted before. My God, I didn't really see the results. Trust the process. Trust the process. Maybe you didn't see the results that you wanted. Trust the process. I don't have time today to share all the stories of people and lives that have been changed because they've set aside 21 days. But there are countless stories of people saying, I was believing and I had been praying for a loved one for years and years and years. But when I set aside 21 days to pray and fast, God moved in their lives and they came to a relationship with Jesus. There have been stories of people that have been dealing with health issues, but they set aside that 21 days and they were healed. Finances were broken. I mean, just you name it, and things have broken because they set aside 21 days. And when you think about it, think of the scope of an entire year. 21 days is not that long. Now, I know in the middle of the fast, when we're on like day 5, 6, 7, is this thing ever going to end? Oh my gosh. That's okay. That's normal. It's natural. That's when we have to join together, encourage, and support each other to continue on, because we know what's going to happen on the other side if we trust the process. This morning when you came in your bulletin, you should have received a card that looks like this. It says, "Can I pray for?" And it has an empty spot there. And on the back side, it has name, email, phone number, and then fill in the space below. You see, this is not just going to be something that we just talk about for the next 21 days, but we are going to pray together as a church for the next 21 days, specifically for any need that you write on these cards. We're going to have these up here for the next 21 days. And so what I want us to do as we conclude service today is, if there is anything that you are praying and believing God for this year, to fill out one of these cards. Like, well, I got lots. Well, we got lots of cards, so that's okay. So if you're like, well, I only got one card, then you can come up here, grab 5, 6, 7 cards and fill them out. Now, you don't have to put your name on them. We have the spot on there. If you want to put your name, that's perfectly fine. If you want to put your email and phone number, you can. If you want to leave it anonymous, that's perfectly fine too. But if you want to, on the front, if there's just like a phrase, pray for healing or pray for salvation or pray for finances or whatever it may be, put it in that spot. And then if you want to add some details, fill out the card in the back in that space, and that's all you have to do. Or if you just want to say, just fill the front side, and that's perfectly fine too. But I am believing that the cards that we're going to fill out today, we're going to trust the process, and we're going to see God move. That breakthrough is going to happen. Lives are going to be touched. Prayers are going to be answered. We are going to see God move. It's not just a blind faith that I have. It's a faith that I have seen in action. I have seen God move time and time again, and His Word says so. We just have to trust the process.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.